1039 LI News Radio. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and listen live 24/7 at linewsradio.com.
Lots happening as far as the town of Brookhaven concerns. That's why we are in the spotlight segment this morning. Here to talk about is the man who runs the show out there. His name, of course, is Ed Romaine. Always a pleasure. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing great this morning. Gorgeous day out there.
Isn't it beautiful? You having a good summer?
I'm having a good summer.
I think a lot of people are, right? No complaints.
No complaints about this summer. Absolutely not.
Absolutely gorgeous. Couple of days in a row right here. Ed, let's get started. So much to talk to you about. The latest is, erasing some of these districts as you're talking about dissolving here more than a half a dozen of what they're called obsolete special districts. And it's all about cutting costs right now and getting revenues going here, huh?
Well, absolutely. Cutting costs. We went through the books. There were a number of obsolete districts, a number of districts where we were already doing that function in another way. So at tonight's town board meeting, we will be wiping those districts out. And that's the first step in a series of steps to reduce the size of government, reduce the size and scope of government, to share services, to consolidate, and to make government more efficient. We're looking to save the taxpayers some money, and we're going through every little nook and cranny of town government and looking at our neighbors and special districts to see how we can do that, how we can share services, how we can eliminate some of these districts, how at the end of the day, the taxpayer will benefit.
And it's kind of smart when you think about it, because really you're letting the residents off the hook as far as paying taxes in certain areas. Therefore, you know what? You can go another route here.
Absolutely. And I've said this. I've been in government a long time. We have too much government on Long Island. We have too many levels of government.
Way too much, yeah.
And people don't know where to turn or what to do. And a lot of times when they turn to the town, we can't help them because it's a county issue or a state issue or a federal issue. We have too much government. We need to simplify our government. We need to streamline our government. We need to cut costs. And until we do that, you know, we're going to have a high cost, too high a cost of a living to live on Long Island. And we shouldn't do that. We should have a much lower cost of government.
No question about it. And Ed, you know, just in this particular matter, it's going to be a good thing, at least to show on record here, because there's a lot of cash at stake here, and I'm talking about this municipal consolidation and efficiency competition, $20 million in all at stake. Showing something like this, I think, actually highlights the town as far as what they're doing for the folks out here, correct?
Absolutely. And whether we get this grant, and as you mentioned, we're in competition with five upstate counties. We're the only downstate municipality that was given the right to apply for this municipal efficiency and consolidation grant. It's $20 million. One winner takes it all, supposedly. We're waiting for the award in September. But whether we get this grant or not, I've taken this town down a path where we will continue to consolidate, we will continue to share services, and we will say to a lot of other people, look, let's see what we can do to combine. We just have too many levels and units in government to make it efficient and to work properly and to keep costs down.
No question. We're talking about a $600 million type of situation here regarding long-term savings for those consolidation efforts. So we look forward to some good things there. That's good news. Now let's get to some not-so-good news. You know, I've always said this regarding PSEG. You know, sometimes they kind of go over the line a little bit, in my opinion. And I'm talking about these polls that are going on here. 175 of these tall steel poles of insulation, Ed, on some of the roadways in Eastport, and really kind of getting this done on their end without any public hearings, any type of consideration as far as aesthetics are concerned. I just feel that they go overboard as far as their authority here. Listen, when it comes to the residents, they don't want it. It has to be looked at in a big way here.
No question. What's even worse is no notification to the town of Brookhaven. We don't have authority or jurisdiction over PSE&G or they're a subcontractor for LIPR or LIPR. But come on, guys, you're going to put a 90-foot pole or higher, steel pole, that's 7 feet wide at its base on someone's front lawn. You're going to put it in front, three or four of them in front of a farm stand? You got to be kidding me. You're going to go through a historic district? You've got to be kidding me. So we've met with PSE&G, but that's going nowhere. They're not going to relent. They said in the papers that they would bury some of the wires, which is what myself, Senator LaValle, Assemblyman Thiel have been working for. But they refused to commit to it in writing. It's incredible. So what did we do? Well, their environmental review, which they have to do, was a joke. They never showed it to anyone. When we finally got a copy, we realized it was full of holes. It was deceptive. It was untrue. So we went into court against them. And we also filed a complaint with the Public Service Commission. Now, I don't know where that will get us, but it certainly got their attention. And we're going to continue to get their attention. And now I open Newsday today, and I find they're wasting the ratepayers' money by sending out a promo PR piece that costs a lot of money just to promote themselves. Incredible.
It's too much. You know, listen, I'll applaud PSEG for the work they do and everything else. Listen, they had an antiquated system after Sandy. I get it. After storms, I've always said this, they've done a great job knocking away those branches and everything else that had to be done. They do a good job getting power back in tense situations. But you know something? When it comes to this stuff, they're dead wrong. They got to be stopped. I don't care how it is. They have to be stopped.
Well, you just can't go into a community and rip it up.
Can't do it.
Without notice. I mean, it's just incredible. Look, I give a lot of credit to the men and women that work the line. They do a great job, okay? I don't give so much credit to the management. I don't think they get it. I think there's some people in management that really should go. And I think if you talk to Senator LaValle, Assemblyman Thiel, Councilman Panico, people like us who have been on the front line trying to deal with these people, you're saying, really? The linemen, men and women, do great jobs. Management, not so great.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. You can't say enough about these guys, but they just go overboard with authority. Can't have that. You know, it's almost like they are the exalted rulers of Long Island here. You can't have that type of mindset. And listen, I'm glad everybody's fighting back, and we'll see what happens.
Well, I hope something happens. I hope these lines get buried because it's a message. Do you know in the town of Brookhaven, for over 20 years, actually almost 23 years, the town has a law that if you build a subdivision of four more houses, you've got to bury your wires.
Yeah.
I hope PSE&G is listening. I hope they consider burying the wires. And I've always said they should bury those wires in storm-prone areas when they're going through downtowns and things on historic districts, because that's where it should be buried. I'm not saying everywhere, but let me tell you, the cost of replacing wires, the outages from storms would be greatly reduced if key areas of Long Island had buried wires instead of overhead wires.
And you can't tell me, listen, you're going to bury the wires in the Hamptons. Why? Because it's the Hamptons and not anywhere else? They don't deserve that type of aesthetic view?
Well, a lot of the people in the Hamptons, God bless them, are second homeowners that come from the city and from Manhattan. That's great. And they may have the clout and influence, but I'm going to stand on my soapbox for my residents in Eastport and scream to the high hills that some of those wires, if not all of them, should be buried, and they should have given us notice, and they should have had a public hearing, and they should have informed the town of Brookhaven, and they didn't. And it's time to say enough is enough.
No question. We're talking with the supervisor of the town of Brookhaven. His name is Ed Romaine. You know, it's kind of a story that went by many, but, you know, I kind of looked at this whole thing, Ed, with the freshwater fish, which can now go and swim in that upper Yaphank Lake into the Carmans River and really reproduce. You know, you're talking about reproducing and how important that is for the first time in, 300 years I was reading? I mean, that's an incredible number now.
It is a great number that we did this. As you know, the Carmans River begins north of 25 in Middle Island. It flows all the way south through Yaphank, all the way down to the bay by Shirley in Brookhaven Hamlets. It's a mighty river. It's one of our four rivers on Long Island. But years ago, the colonists, long even before we became a country, dammed this river in two spots to create a lake for mills to help grind flour and other things. Those mills are no longer here, but the dams are. They create an upper lake and lower lake in Yaphank. What we did is we built a fish passage so that trout, specifically, and other fish can swim upstream now to the upper reaches and spawn. And when you see that, you will see the trout coming back. There's one other dam. The county took care of the dam at South Haven Park, where there was another lake that was formed by Sunrise Highway. There's one other dam on Lower Lake that the county owns, and we're waiting for them. And when that fish passage is completed, trout will be able to swim all the way up to the upper reaches of the commons, and there they will spawn, and you will see trout throughout the river. It is a great thing. It's returning to the environment what should have been done years ago.
No question. It's just an overall ecological benefit. And a lot of people don't realize this, but by adding capacity to this waterway there, you're going to prevent some flooding that could take place here.
Absolutely, because we created these spill dams as well as fish ladders that will prevent flooding in times where the lake rises or the river floods. So there's an added benefit. But for us, the most important thing was to go return to nature, what nature intended, for these trout to swim upstream where they would spawn. And by the way, what we will do when that other fish passage that the county is supposed to build is finished.
No question.
We will get trout
and
bring them upstream so they will spawn. And while it will not be native to the trout we bring up, to their offspring it will. And you will see a progression over the years of trout returning all the way to the upper reaches of the Commons River.
That'll be great sight. Ed, is it true the MTA now has to file a new plan in order to remove some of that contaminated soil? I'm talking about the former rail yard over there. I guess it's a change in the waste site cleanup program, but pretty much the MTA now is, I guess has to file a new one, right?
They have to file a new plan. What we're talking about is in, some people would say, East Yaphank, on the east side of the Commons River, next to the railroad there. The railroad created a huge dump that's been there for about 30 years.
Right.
This dump has some of the worst contaminants I have ever seen. Their response to our demand that they clean it up was, all right, we'll just cover it up. We'll cap it with asphalt. We said, no, we want it all cleaned up. They did not want to do that. We went into court. We prevailed. So now they must file a new plan. And we are going to monitor that very, very, very carefully. The cleanup is going to be very expensive, millions and millions of dollars. But the railroad dumped it there for all those years, and I'm talking about some very serious contaminants. So we want that cleaned for the people that live in that neighborhood, and for the health of the Commons River. They're only about 700 feet away from the Commons River there.
Yeah, and we were just talking about the Commons River before, along with with the fish and the expanding of the waterway there, and then that certainly poses a danger there.
We can't pollute our atmosphere. We can't pollute our groundwater. We can't pollute the areas in we live and expect nature will solve all of our problems. We have to help nature out, and when there's a mess, we've got to clean it up.
No question about it. Ed Romaine with us. He, the supervisor of the town of Brookhaven. Speaking of cleanup, I know the town, I think they won like a state grant to clean up some junkyard. Is that true, like $25,000 or so?
Yes, we won a state grant for North Belport.
Okay.
And what we've been doing is cracking down North Belport, the greater Belport area, along Montauk Highway, Belport East Patchogue. If you drive there, you're like, holy Christmas, this must be the capital of junkyards. There's a lot of junkyards there.
Yeah.
Many of these junkyards don't have permits. Others don't have certificates of occupancy. And we've been cracking down and writing tickets and trying to get people into compliance. Our goal is to get rid of most of these junkyards. This is not an appropriate place for them. And we're trying to get the county to extend sewers to Montauk Highway in this area, because once these junkyards go, we want to fill it up with businesses that will do well, and sewers would help that tremendously.
No question about it. And, you know, it's all about the crackdown right now. And listen, the property owners, you know, I know they appeared in court, and a lot of them brought their properties up to code. That's what it's all about, is bringing stuff up to code here.
Absolutely. We have a code for a reason. We drafted a code because most people in Brookhaven agreed that Brookhaven should look better than it does. And I agree. Look, Brookhaven can look a lot better than it does. And we are going to work on making Brookhaven look better. We're going to try to build a better Brookhaven. And that starts with enforcing some of our codes, particularly against those who have been out of compliance for years and got away with it. There's no more turning our head anymore. So we're going to crack down on these junkyards and along Montauk Highway in the Bellport and East Patchogue area. We are definitely going to crack down.
And speaking of crack down, and it kind of goes along in the same theory, you know, with these zombie homes, you have been an important cog here as far as fighting against these types of homes. Why? Because the lowest property values amongst a million other things here, but it was nice. And I know there was some money given from the state attorney general's office to kind of fight back a little bit of this proliferation of homes. But all in all, you know, it's a good settlement when you think about it from this Morgan Stanley, because, you know, you remember back then the mortgage backed bonds and everything else really yielded a lot of these dollars. And what better way to spend those dollars to fight this thing?
Absolutely. We got $350,000, which is kind of a drop in the bucket, but we're using it to do pre-foreclosure counseling to help people so they don't have to lose their house. Look, we've torn down a lot of houses. Last year we tore down 52. This year we'll still down 60. Next year we have 100. So we're tearing down a lot of these houses that are really wrecks of a house. But my goal would be not to tear down houses, to rebuild them. I've asked the federal government and the state government, give me money. Let me work with a not-for-profit. Because many of the houses I tore down, if I had got to them 2 or 3 or 4 years earlier, they could have been saved. They could have been recycled and given to a first-time home buyer, or a veteran could have purchased it. And, you know, I think that's a much better way to go. So I've asked the state and the federal government, give me some funds to let me reclaim these houses. I'm working with the Long Island Builders. I'm working with not-for-profits like Habitat for Humanity and people of that nature to try to reclaim these houses before they're totally lost, and we have to tear them down.
No question. A couple of minutes left with the supervisor of the town of Brookhaven. How did that national night out go, Ed? It was interesting. It kind of came about after the president was here. I know he made some remarks regarding how the police should treat would-be criminals. But in essence, you know, to me, it's all about trying to kind of engage a little bit here between the community and enforcement. How did it go out there?
It's always working with the community. The police in Suffolk County do a great job. They do work. I went to 2 national night outs. I went to the one at William Floyd High School at their football field. It was a great night. The officers were there. The commanding officer of the 7th Precinct was there. It was just a very good night. And then I went to the one in Martha Avenue Park in Bellport, which is just south of Sunrise Highway. That was a great night. And we recognized that night, not only were there activities going on, it was great, and I walked around and said hello to as many people as I could, but we renamed Martha Avenue Park after Tony Gazzola, who was a tremendous community leader, former New York City detective, and also the chief of investigators for time with town of Brookhaven. I knew Tony very well. He was committed to his community, and he worked. He made sure he would go to day-old stores and get food and deliver it to people in need. He worked to clean up that community, and we named the park for him. There was a huge turnout. I'm so happy that his memory was remembered. He was a type of guy that every community should have. We need more people like that that get engaged in their community. And I thank the police for all they do to reach out to the community, because that's the way law enforcement should be. It's not about taking your hand away from someone's head when you put them in a police car. It's about working with the community so that people in the community know if they do something wrong, their neighbors are going to reach out to the police and the police are going to come, and they're going to have to pay for any crime that they do.
Well done, Ed Romaine. Lots on the plate these days. The fine supervisor of the town of Brookhaven. Ed, we'll talk soon.
Oh, listen, you have a great day. Enjoy the weather out there. Hopefully you're not in that booth all day.
Okay, thank you, sir.
All right. God bless.